Welcome to Talkin' Music. I'm Corey Stanton. On this program, we're honoring music lover, father, husband, friend, and community connector, Thomas Lawley. Thomas moved to the North Fork Valley in 1970 and was a Paonia resident until 1986. In his time here in our valley, he was a community leader, KVNF DJ, and also dubbed by many as Mr. Fun. This last February, Thomas died at his home in Santa Fe, New Mexico, after battling cancer for 4 years. He was 72. Thomas loved music and in many ways utilized music to connect people. And on this program, we'll hear from several of his family members and friends as they share some of their most memorable moments and their love for the man that was always smiling with a twinkle in his eye. I was fortunate to meet Thomas several years ago at the infamous hippie reunion near the Trading Post. It was one of the most incredible experiences I've ever been a part of. Thomas and his wife Paula, and I'm sure many others, produced an amazing event that made everyone feel as if we had all stepped, or maybe even floated, back in time. If you were there, you know what I'm talking about. Here's a clip of Thomas Lawley offering a warm welcome at the hippie reunion in Paonia in 2010.
Zero in on what you want. And I wanted to be up here telling my story to you guys. So. And then it said for the whole week, accept a leadership role, which I have, and network and stretch your immediate circle. So I thank you for fulfilling my astrological chart.
It wouldn't have been any fun if I was up here talking to myself. So you guys have like fulfilled the dream. I had a dream, and it was a hippie reunion, and you guys have helped make it reality, and I thank you, and I'm really glad to do my part to make this all happen, and I'm just speechless. But not for very long.
The hippie reunion certainly wasn't the only event that Thomas Lawley produced. After he left the North Fork Valley, he went on to be the festival director for Mountain Fair in Carbondale for 17 years. He booked all of the bands, organized the vendors, and he also emceed. Rumor has it, he loved being behind a microphone. The Mountain Fair in Carbondale lives on, and from what I've heard, it was hugely impacted by Thomas Lawley's love for music and his passion for human connection. On Saturday, June 1st, 2019, there was a celebration of life for Thomas in Carbondale, and a second celebration held on Sunday, June 2nd, at Paonia Town Park. I attended the celebration in Paonia with my family, and with the blessing from the Lawley family, I took this opportunity to interview several friends and family of Thomas. Here is Paula Lawley, Thomas's wife of 47 years, talking about his celebration of life and how she's received an outpouring of love and support from the many people who had the pleasure of knowing Thomas Lawley.
It was wonderful, and we had so many friends here, and we had a ceremony and celebration, we call it, of his life in Carbondale yesterday, and today was Paonia, and all our old friends showed up, and people said, thank you for bringing us old friends back together, and it was like a reunion, you know, and then every person who spoke, and most of them did, to share a feeling or a thought. They just said the most heartfelt things and different things, but the theme that ran through it all was Thomas laughed. He had the greatest laugh. He laughed a lot. He was so fun, and he had always a twinkle in his eye. And he was the glue that kind of stirred the group energy and glued it all together. And then we're talking about the early 70s and 80s, and then we moved away from here in 86 to be grandparents. But anyways, he led the most happy, wonderful life. And he was such a easy person to get along with, you know, and we never had a fight in 47 years of marriage. And then we had a beautiful daughter, and he was the best dad in the world. He was not like a dad, he was like a giant playmate. Like an overgrown playmate who would crawl around on the floor, carry your horseback rides on the round and round on hands and knees, carry her to bed. Well, we read stories every night. Little House on the Prairie. We didn't have a TV. We'd snuggle up, read stories, trade off, different voices, you know, and have a lot of fun. And then he would carry her to bed on his back, down the stairs, even till she was 10 years old. She was huge. He wasn't big. Carrying her down the stairs, tuck her in bed, give her a little goodnight kiss on the cheek, you know, and it was just very sweet. And she absolutely adored him, and with good reason. Anybody would want a dad like that. He did so many things, and he ran the Carbondale Mountain Fair for 17 years. He put on over 300 musical events in those 17 years, including some pretty well-known, like String Cheese Band, Leo Kottke, Richie Havens, John McEwen from the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band. So anyway, and then we had poetry and music, coffee houses in the winter, and he put on photography shows, art walks, and that legacy still lives on in Carbondale. And then in Paonia, well, he and I were both kind of community organizers for the fun parties, you know, dances and fundraisers for the Lamborn School and, you know, spaghetti dinners and Feast of Fools. And we, of course, organized that, and it was so much fun. We would laugh so hard you would almost hurt from laughing, and the next day you would just feel elevated high for like a day or two afterwards. We just laughed ourselves silly. And he was a great MC, and I was his costumer and the poster maker and the ghost writer and a poet and whatever. He was also known as Mr. Fun and the head fool of the Feast of Fools. And he used to do a radio show once a week called The Whole Wheat Show. We were, you know, organic whole wheat hippies and grew gardens and ate healthy stuff, made our own everything, you know. So we just had this wonderful life here. And all of us at that era, people, maybe 30 different families or whatever, were just attracted here, didn't know each other, just landed here by some magical attraction, magnetic force, who knows, and became friends and formed a community. Created the radio station. Campbell Stanton started that. And I was a midwife. Thomas married people. And he just had a wonderful life. He was a happy guy. And the Mountain Fair, there were 110 arts and craft booths, 30 vendors with food that was all juried. You had to have passed the jury test to get in. 17 bands over 3 days. It was all free admission. He was a great music lover, you know. And he would go recruit musicians. Like, he would go to festivals and go, oh, I like that group. And he had such good taste that he would recruit groups that weren't yet big, hire them for Mountain Fair, and in 2 years they were national and you couldn't afford them anymore. And so he had a good ear for it. And people said he upgraded the music selections at the Mountain Fair 3 or 4 notches. And just pushed it up into the stratosphere for entertainment. And it was just wonderful. So it was the town party. People came clear from Grand Junction. He built it up from a small town party to kind of a regional activity. And in, I think it was 2003 or 2002, it was voted one of the 7 best festivals in the country. And then when he was head of the Arts Council in Carbondale, they received the Governor's Award for Excellence in the Arts, and he was the head guy, the director. So he had a lot of accomplishments, but he was never full of himself. He just was full of laughter. So he's just well remembered by so many people. It's just really heartwarming to hear it all and to, you know, have everybody come and participate. We had almost 100 people in Carbondale and probably 70 here in Paonia. Oh, there's one last thing. This guy he used to hire, who was a performer, but kind of in the comic area, but he would wander around in the Mountain Fair, and he was known as Poppy the Clown. But he would do a statue, and he'd stand still, and people say, is that a statue, or is that a real guy? And they'd look at him, and he wouldn't blink, he wouldn't move. They'd look away, he'd move. And then they go, did that guy move? And that guy came to the celebration in Carbondale, and he said, you know, Carbondale had the best fair. He said, I've been to many, many as a performer. And he said, Thomas actually affected me and shaped me to be a better performer because of his attitude and the joy, and the community had such a heartfelt feeling and love and whatever. He said, and for 3 days, it felt like the world was the way it was supposed to be. Yeah. And he said, I'm so glad you called and asked me to come. I wouldn't have missed it for the world. So anyway, and I heard probably 25 other stories like similar. He was my mentor. He shaped who I am, this one guy said. He took me under his wing, and I was his assistant at the Arts Council, and he taught me everything I know. And, I mean, it just went on and on. It was incredible and heartwarming and beautiful.
Yeah.
That was Paula Lolly sharing a few stories and memories. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Talkin' Music on KVNF. I'm Corey Stanton. We're honoring the life of Thomas Lolly. Thomas was a Paonia resident in the early 70s, and his legacy lives on through the numerous people and the stories they shared over the weekend at his celebration of life. Now we'll hear from KVNF founder, Campbell Stanton.
I just have a couple of great thoughts about a beautiful man, Thomas. It wasn't that he would beat you with a slam on a ping pong table. He would goad you into making a mistake. He'd get you so unraveled that he could be losing like 19-5 and he'd still beat you. He'd come back, because he outsmarted you. He got a way to get in your head. And we all loved it, actually. We hated it. No. We all wanted to beat him. And I don't know if I ever did. I don't know if other members of the Outer Club, Danny Perkins and Dave Bristow, ever beat him, but
I did.
I have it signed on the bottom of my ping pong table.
I'm going to come over and look at that.
One time.
And the other story is KVNF was brand new. We were on Garvin Mesa. I was doing a late night blues show. It was about 11:30, and Paula, how did you let him out of the house? Because he came up to the radio station to sit in with me.
He got out all the time, like a dog.
So he comes up and he's sitting opposite me, and I'm on the mic, and I say, well, you know, what do you think of that song? And he says, how come you can't say shit on the radio? And I was like, we were like 2 or 3 months old, you know, and I said, no, you know, don't say that stuff, you know. Anyway, we got back to music pretty quick, and anyway, what a great man, and I miss him.
That was KVNF founder Campbell Stanton sharing a couple memories of his friend Thomas Lolly. Here is musician Karen Mills Cochran talking about her early days in the North Fork and how she met Thomas.
I met Thomas when I first moved here in 1985, and actually one of the first things, we were with some friends who lived here and who were active in the music scene and in the social scene here, and they had heard us, I was part of a band called Rosewood, and they had heard us play, I think in Leadville, and they came to us and said, you need to check out Paonia. And so we said, okay, and we made arrangements to come over here, and we came over here, and we got with them, and they said, well, there's a party going on down at a restaurant called Little's Restaurant, and you really should come to that and meet some people. So we went to this party, and it was a masquerade party of sorts, and there were all sorts of great Paonia people there, but they were all in costumes, so we had no idea who we were meeting, but that was the evening of the infamous Three Stooges act that we saw videotape of here at Thomas's memorial. So I would say, officially, that's probably the first time I met Thomas. I just didn't know it at the time. And as time went on, our housing arrangement got a little bit strange, and so a friend said, well, you can come and stay at my ranch for a while. And so we did that, and eventually Thomas and Paula decided that they were going to make a move over to Carbondale, and they wanted to rent their house on Stucker Mesa. So my ex-partner and I and my daughter all moved up to Stucker Mesa and moved into their house. So we were their renters. And we did a lot of stuff together. And as we were developing our band, Thomas took an interest in the band, Rosewood, and decided to help us promote the band. So he became our promoter as well as our landlord. He was just a multifaceted guy. And Paula was always just incredibly supportive. She was such a healer from the start and into traditional medicine and so many organic, wonderful things. And so we hit it off right away. And that's basically how I got to know them. And the stories are endless and adventures are many, and as everybody here could testify today for themselves, you know, Thomas Lawley had a way of making everyone feel like they were his best friend, you know. So that's how I got to know Thomas. And so coming here today and being in Carbondale yesterday for this memorial service was just quite a healing experience, I think, for everybody here, because this is an extended family here in Paonia, and I feel it still, even though I don't live here anymore, you know.
Did Rosewood ever play at Mountain Fair? Or?
Yes, we did play at Mountain Fair for a number of years. We played there, yeah. I have an overall classic remembrance of Mountain Fair and being a performer at Mountain Fair in the band Rosewood as being an extremely surreal experience. It was like stepping through the looking glass altogether. And I think anybody who performs in a venue like that, that's so colorful and decorated and beautiful with so many happy, you know, radiant people, it sort of puts you in a different space, in a different time, in a different perspective. And it's something to be treasured for always. And Thomas, as the orchestrator of that, will always be close to my heart with that brilliant, radiant, beaming smile and those twinkling eyes that says to any person, performer or otherwise, push your limits. Go a little farther than you think you can. What have you got to lose? You know, that kind of thing.
And you wrote this beautiful song. Can you tell us about what the name of the song is and about it?
Yeah. The song is called The Journey, and it's a song that basically depicts a beautiful dying experience. And it actually was inspired by a dream in which a person is laying down for their final rest or for rest on a beach during a sunset and with an ocean pulsing and all that goes along with a beachy sunset. The magical parts of it are there, as well as a muse dressed in a cloak made of gems. And each of the gems on this cloak are gifts that the person who's passing on has given to the world. And it describes all that. And then it basically just says a very fond farewell. But yeah, it was a perfect song for Thomas.
Let's take a listen to The Journey.
Soft and sandy beach.
That was an original song by Karen Mills Cochran and a tribute to her dear friend, Thomas Lawley. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Talkin' Music on KVNF. And on this program, we're celebrating the life and many memories of former Paonia resident Thomas Lawley. I had the chance to interview a few of Thomas's friends and family at his recent celebration of life. Next, we'll hear from KVNF DJ Thomas Smith, also known as OT. I asked Thomas Smith how he got his nickname.
In 93, when I was here in Paonia, I went over to Carbondale to check out the Mountain Fair, and a good friend of mine was working backstage, John Hutchison, and he was doing the backstage area, which he does pretty magnificently. And I got hooked. At that point, I said, okay, I'm going to jump in and help out here. And before I know it, I was really into it. I had a radio. Somebody at one point said, hey, Thomas, where's so-and-so? And somebody other, which Thomas? And I said, the other Thomas. I said, the other Thomas. Oh, okay. O.T. Other Thomas. And over the years, Thomas himself gave me nicknames like Otis and Brotus. And my favorite was Otisius. I went back every year for those next few years. Let's see, 93, 94, 95. And then I went back to New Orleans for a few years, helping my mom with some projects. And Thomas sent me a Mountain Fair t-shirt the first year I was gone, but the second year I was gone, he says, okay, if you want a t-shirt, you've got to come back. And I actually left New Orleans on a Tuesday morning and arrived in Carbondale Wednesday night to help start setting up the Mountain Fair. So it was my introduction back into Colorado, hanging out with the gang, the family. One of the things that I really recognize when I look back at the times I spent at the Mountain Fair and watching Thomas, and he was gentle but very firm. He really knew what he was doing. It was just amazing to watch him in action. And on my second time in Paonia, about a year after I got back, I was offered the job of manager of the Blue Sage Center for the Arts. And all of that training came into play. I had a chance to actually put on a few festivals. And the big festival I did in Hotchkiss, I asked Thomas to be the MC. So he was a big part of my life in a lot of ways. My last memories with Thomas were last July. He came over for the Carbondale Mountain Fair, and he was just in heaven during that stay, on that visit of the Mountain Fair. He knew so many people. And he was on his feet for 5 or 6 hours nonstop, just visiting with people and enjoying the experience. It was just such a part of his life, and Mountain Fair wouldn't be the same without Thomas's input over the years. Music was a huge part of Thomas's life. Being the director of the Mountain Fair was a perfect opportunity for him to find the bands, to bring them in. And a big part of why he was doing the job that he was doing is that he felt that it was the glue, the connectivity, the music brought people together, and for a lot of reasons, for entertainment, sometimes education, for the experience. He was a really major part of bringing people together.
Next, we'll hear from Sunshine Lolly, daughter of Thomas and Paula Lolly.
I grew up in Paonia until I was 13, so I have a lot of great memories here. I went to the Waldorf School and played in the park and lived up on Stucker Mesa. But a memory that came to mind was my dad and I doing radio shows when I was probably 10 together at KVNF. And he'd let me talk, and I had all these funny phrases that I thought were cool, like, coming at ya from KVNF. And we'd pick a combination of music, his Beatles and old stuff, and then I'd play weird things that were more current that people would probably be like, what is this? But we had fun, and at one point somebody called to make sure that there was an adult there at KVNF because they thought a kid had taken over. But lots of great memories of growing up in this valley and my dad being very tied in with the radio, and he always loved music and brought a lot of live music to, not as much this area, but when we moved to Carbondale. And he really enjoyed being around musicians and all that creative energy and great stuff, and dancing. He enjoyed dancing. I think music was an integral part of his life, and also as a universal language, kind of to connect with people. And that's very much what my dad did, just connect people.
Yeah. I've heard so many people say that they're so grateful for this celebration of your dad's life.
Yeah, really beautiful two little ceremonies we did for him, and it's just really fun to hear all the old stories and laugh and cry in the same few minutes, and just how many people's lives he touched was really amazing. And if we could all be so lucky to have so many great things said about us.
That was Sunshine Lolly sharing a few thoughts and memories of her dad, Thomas Lolly. Now we'll hear from longtime friend and fellow musician, Bobby Campbell. I asked Bobby about the first time he met Thomas.
It started with the hippies here were always putting on a May Day parade. I think it was a May Day parade that would march down Main Street. And I was a new arrival and just getting to meet a few people. And they had a couple of floats that they were going to pull. And I thought this was really interesting. They, you know, can you do anything? You juggle or you dance or do something like that? And I'd just been in China recently, and I'd had this Chinese horn. It was very different kind of shape and sound, and a little bit eerie, actually. So I dressed up in some kind of costume and got up on one of these floats, and I was playing this horn, and Thomas was watching the parade or whatever, and I caught a glimpse of him. I didn't know I hadn't met him yet, on the side with this kind of goofy expression. He's like, who's that guy playing that horn? And that became like a long-standing memory for us both about how we first met. It was after the parade, you know, we kind of got introduced, and, you know, it was through that kind of absurd circumstance and appreciating the sort of funnier things. And we always had a relationship that was based on good humor. Thomas loved music, and he especially loved music that moved the spirit, or moved the body as well, but he had music in his soul.
That's beautiful. Do you recall any specific memories at Mountain Fair with Thomas that you'd like to share?
Wow. That would be tough to narrow down to any one specific one, because it's like a collage of memories. But I'll tell you one that I just caught on video the other day, and it just hit me. He did like to get in front of a microphone. I mean, that was one of his favorite things to do, and he did kind of consider himself a ringmaster, you know, center of the circus, and he loved to get a crowd fired up, you know. But he got out often, and in conjunction with getting a crowd fired up, he could also remind a whole group of people about the important things in life. And he used to do this without fail at the Mountain Fair, and take a moment to remind everybody, just give thanks. And just give thanks for how lucky we are to be here, how lucky we are to have friends and family, to be able to share these great experiences. It's what life really is. And he was able to do that in such a gentle and yet powerful way that everybody stopped whatever they were doing, partying, and just went, you know, yeah, that's right, and got on that train. It was stunning.
Anything that you wish you could have shared with him, or any last kind of thoughts that you have about Thomas?
I was lucky enough to visit with him probably a month before he passed away, and I really cherish that time. We were able to spend a really nice couple of days together, and you know, he was fighting a lot and yet didn't let that get in the way of a good hang. And I still feel like we kind of have some kind of communication going on, just even if it's ethereal. But you know, I think the only thing I could wish for would be that he's still here in person, but having him here in spirit is the next best thing.
Are there any songs that remind you of Thomas?
Well, a song he really liked, and a song that kind of represents maybe one of his more primary focuses or philosophies, is this Bob Marley tune, Three Little Birds. You know, don't you worry about a thing, every little thing is gonna be all right.
Thank you. That was Bobby Campbell reflecting on his longtime friendship with Thomas Lawley. You've been listening to Talkin' Music on KVNF. I'm Corey Stanton. Thank you for tuning in to this special celebration of Thomas Lawley's life and his love for music, his family, and his friends. We'll go out on one of Thomas's favorite songs, Three Little Birds by Bob Marley.
This morning.